We welcome back to the show political reporter from News 8 and a dear friend of mine, Mike Cerulli, joins us because there's been a lot of, well, Connecticut political stories I'd like to dive into with Mike, see what he thinks about it all. Mike Cerulli, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, great to be back.
Always love to have you here. Always love it. So, wow, yesterday was a big day. There's a lot going on. Let's start with when I talked to you on the phone, either yesterday or the day before, I can't even remember, all my days are crossed. You were already up at the Capitol. We knew there was going to be a big announcement. Governor Lamont had sent out, this was yesterday, Governor Lamont had said that there was going to be an administrative announcement. And talk about this major exit, because we've already heard even from the GOP, they're pretty bummed about this person leaving.
Yeah, so this guy named Jeffrey Beckham, who's a longtime, basically a government lawyer. He's worked in a number of different capacities. But most recently, he was the director of something called the Office of Policy and Management, which for all intents and purposes, typically he's just referred to, that position is referred to as the governor's budget director. And what the Office of Policy and Management is it's sort of an outgrowth of the governor's office. And they have policy experts. They have a lot of budget experts, people on staff who execute the governor's agenda. So a governor, of course, runs on a platform. I'm going to get A, B, and C done. They get elected, and then all these people at OPM help the people in the governor's office execute their strategies, really kind of the brains, the policy muscle, the coordination, the quarterbacking for a governor's agenda typically happens out of OPM and out of the governor's office. And Jeff Beckham has been in this position leading that office since 2022. Fun fact about Jeff Beckham, he was appointed to that role after the Costa Diamantis scandal, where Costa Diamantis was a deputy secretary in
yes.
the Office of Policy and Management. Of
mm-hmm.
course, our friends at the FBI started getting interested in him, and the person who was in charge of the office at the time left amidst that investigation because, of course, she was Costa Diamantis' superior. She had a close personal relationship with Costa Diamantis, so the writing was kind of on the wall there. So they bring in this guy, Jeff Beckham. He's seen as a stabilizing figure. And he becomes one of the administration's most fervent defenders of the budget controls that people often call fiscal guardrails. He presides over two biennial budgets that, for the most part, depending on who you ask, abide by those fiscal guardrails. And most recently, he has been sort of one of the more key officials in the administration dealing with the response to the federal shutdown and the impacts that had on the fiscal state of Connecticut. So very important figure, someone the governor's trusted a lot. And for a while now, we've heard that he's been planning on leaving by the end of this year, and that announcement was made yesterday.
Okay, but the timing of it, Mike, is really, to me, a little suspect. Because as you just mentioned, he's been a real integral player. And it's very hard, might I add, to have, in this situation, you have a Democratic governor who I do actually think he has a lot of respect from both sides of the aisle. So I don't want to discredit Governor Lamont. But it's very hard, I think, when you have an administration for the other side of the aisle to be, I mean, basically heartbroken. I mean, I was really thrown when I saw there was a press release that came out from some of the House Republican leaders and representatives. And they note, obviously, his role for the Diamantis corruption scandal and just calling him a very measured principal voice on fiscal matters within the administration, saying that they're going to sorely miss him. So I guess my question is, why wouldn't Governor Lamont, especially as he just mentioned, he's running for a third term, why wouldn't you want to keep somebody with such strong bipartisan support, and in a time where especially unaffiliated independent voters would probably want someone who has, I think, respect at a bipartisan level and fiscal responsibility? To me, why wouldn't you do everything you can to keep this guy on staff?
Well, I think part of it, of course, it's not entirely up to the governor who stays on his staff, right? These senior positions, like being the governor's chief of staff, like being the director of OPM, there's a shelf life on all these jobs. Doesn't matter how good of a job you do, that people get burnt out by them. So I think there was some of that at play, that Jeff Beckham was maybe just looking at leaving this job anyways. I was told by a fairly reliable source that he had told the governor at one point that this year's budget would be his last budget cycle. And remember, Connecticut budget's on a 2-year cycle. So, he's been kind of looking at that exit for a while. He's going to be appointed as a judge, which is kind of, I don't want to discount the work that judges do, but often a final act of a person's political career. In many cases, if they're becoming a judge at that point, we look at people like Kevin Kelly and others where it's like sort of the last thing that they do. So definitely someone who's looking for an exit plan, I think, from state government. But I think the other thing is you got to look at who the governor has brought in to replace Jeff Beckham, the guy named Josh Wojcik.
I'm glad that you went there because I need to understand this person more.
Yeah, so Josh Senior, I don't really know him at all, but he's a senior official in Comptroller Sean Scanlon's office. If anyone out there is like a teacher or some sort of employee who's on the state public health benefits plan, all those letters you get from the comptroller about your benefits, they're signed by Josh Wojcik because he's the guy in charge of that policy area. He has deep experience negotiating with hospitals. And you might be asking yourself, wait a minute, Mike, you just told me this is a budget office. Why are they bringing in someone who's got healthcare policy expertise? Well, remember, it's not just budget. It's also the policy implementation around the whole administration. And the governor has signaled he's very interested in doing healthcare policy reforms, right? The state is buying a couple hospitals, probably 3 total, Waterbury Hospital, Day Kimball Hospital in Putnam, and Bristol Hospital. And as part of that, it sounds like from what the governor has said in recent weeks, he would like to create some sort of network of preferred providers with that expanded UConn health system as the sort of anchor for it. And it looks like that sort of interest is being reflected in this appointment, that he's bringing in a healthcare policy expert, someone who knows the ins and outs of, and remember too, the bulk of what the state spends its money on is on healthcare, whether it be Medicare and Medicaid state programs or the state health insurance plan. So this is sort of reflects a priority of the governor's, and I think brings in someone who's similarly respected within state government when it comes to fiscal and policy issues.
Mm, okay. What is the reaction? Again, I'm just curious, you know, did this seem like it was this decision, I would say, for the person who's now replacing Beckham? Do we feel like this was done with the campaign in mind, or no?
I mean, there's probably a read of this that says, look, OPM, as much as it's tied at the hip to the governor's office, it's not the governor's office. The governor's office is the governor's office, and that cadre of senior staff led by the chief of staff, they're the closest people to the governor. And OPM under previous administrations has had what you might call political actors in it, people who've worked on campaigns. OPM right now, particularly Jeff Beckham's not. He's a government guy. He's not a political guy. There is a distinction between those two things. Jeff Beckham is not someone who has worked on campaigns or who is involved in the conversations about Governor Lamont's reelection campaign. So there is a read of Jeff Beckham's departure and the bringing in of this new OPM secretary of saying a lot of the policymaking is now going to be sort of re-centralized inside the governor's office under Chief of Staff Matt Brockman, who, in addition to being a policy brain, is also a very serious political person and someone who is very involved in the governor's reelection efforts. So you might think of it, I mean, there's sort of a phrase in presidential politics of presidents who run for reelection and they run their reelection out of the West Wing, right? That started with Nixon and to varying degrees has been applied to other presidents, meaning the same people who run the office officially also run the campaign. And I think you're seeing a little bit of that with Governor Nemlin. I don't want to overstate it, but certainly over the next year, there will be sort of one voice of the administration, or at least that's kind of the way that the senior staff is now oriented, where you used to kind of have these, you know, Beckham and Brockman, you used to have these kind of two almost equal voices when it came to speaking for the administration on certain issues. Mm. Now it's much more centralized in the governor's office.
And I'm going to go down this rabbit hole, Mike Cerulli, but I have to think ahead. This is, again, from very strong sources of mine, that Comptroller Sean Scanlon, I believe it was on News 8, actually, had said earlier, maybe this year or last year, that he would consider running for governor. However, if Governor Lamont decided to run again, he actually saw that as kind of a win for him because he feels like it'll give me another, you know, another go at staying comptroller, and then I'll be ready to run. And I have a hard time overlooking the fact that you hire somebody who has such a connection to the comptroller's office in such an important position now in the Lamont administration. So by the time comptroller Sean Scanlon decides to run for governor, now I might be getting into the weeds here, but it's very hard to overlook that connection there too, because I feel like Governor Lamont, if he gets reelected, I believe this would probably be his final term. And I want to say Comptroller Sean Scanlon's happy about that because he would then want the Democratic nomination the next go around. Again, I know I'm shooting way far out here, but I do find that that is just interesting. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the governor definitely values, you know, when the governor was giving, I forget when this was, but he was giving a speech about it's sort of rattling through the constitutional officers and saying, you know, well, William Tong helps us fight the Trump administration and Eric Russell's helping me stabilize the pension funds. And the comment he made about Sean Scanlon, he said, Sean Scanlon helps me solve tough problems, which is kind of different than the things he said about
yes.
the other constitutional officers.
Agreed.
Right?
These little, the governor, to me, hints.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and I think you think of two instances where the governor, one was an investigation or a review of spending at central mm-hmm. at the state university mm-hmm. system after the Terrence Chang sort of debacle. And the other thing was the UConn health issue, where the governor really deputized Scanlon to sort of help him in those efforts. Now, UConn health, that makes sense for the comptroller to help out there because it's healthcare and it's state spending related. So that's in the comptroller's wheelhouse. But on some of the other things, it's a little bit less clear why another agency wouldn't have done that, or, you know, why an outside firm wouldn't have done that. It's clear that he trusts the comptroller to help him on these tough problems. And yeah, bringing in someone from the comptroller's office is certainly, in a way, it's the same thing as I said about the sort of power shift. It's, I don't want to overstate it, but it's certainly something.
Yeah, just keep the little nugget in our back pocket. I'm doing the same thing. Political reporter Mike Cerulli here for a few more minutes. Let's talk about, it is now official. I feel like it took a very long time, but former New Britain Mayor Erin Stewart officially announcing her run for governor for the Republican Party. At this point, it is Erin Stewart and State Senator Ryan Fazio in Lower Fairfield County for the Republican Party. First of all, Mike, do you foresee any other Republican names being thrown out there? I mean, Jen Tucker was actually the first to officially announce, but she's already taken her name off the list for Republicans. You hearing about anybody else showing interest at this point?
No. I mean,
no,
anything's possible,
so.
but no.
Okay. What are the possibilities of the two of them ending up on one ticket? Because I'm also hearing rumblings about that.
So this is something that goes around a lot in Republican circles, particularly when Ryan Fazio first entered the race, mm-hmm. where people said, oh, well, he's just going to run for lieutenant governor and they'll be on the same ticket. I do not believe that's either one of their intentions is to be the other person's lieutenant governor.
That would be a very interesting showdown, though. Could you imagine if Senator Fazio ran as governor against Ned Lamont, and then you had Erin Stewart running up against Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz? That would be very interesting.
Yeah, I just don't think either one of them intends to do.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of them. Now, anything's possible, right? You get to the heat of a convention where there's deals being made on the floor and loyalties are switching and a lot of stuff's happening. People should go back and read the history of the 2018 and 2014
yes.
Republican gubernatorial conventions and just like how quickly fortunes can change, how quickly
yeah.
people can switch up on each other. It does happen, stuff like that. Erin Stewart started running for governor in 2018
yep.
and then dropped down eventually to running for lieutenant governor. I think maybe she doesn't want to do that again because it didn't work out for her that well back in 2018. So it could happen, but it's not, I have not, based on conversations with each of the candidates, with people that are close to each of the candidates, they sort of scoff when they hear, oh, well, the intention here is just to put them on a ticket together. You know, it could happen, but I don't think either, they're both running a win right now.
Yeah, I mean, I remember specifically when we had talked to Erin Stewart about running, and I remember saying to her, you know, if running for, because it was when she said she wasn't running for re-election as mayor, and I said, well, you know, if it's not governor, you know, would you want to be a, you know, go to, you know, U.S. Congress? Would you want to run for something? And she's like, no. She's like, I want to be governor. That's what I want. That's what I want. And now I've not had that conversation with Senator Fazio, but I would imagine, and they're running obviously similar, but to me, very different platforms. I do feel like, and this is where I want to get your take on it, I feel like Mayor Stewart is kind of running, I would say, a platform, it feels like, where she's leaning a little bit into the national Republican. And I don't know if that's for the primary purposes of winning. Whereas I have not heard as much of that out of Senator Fazio. I feel like he's sticking with a lot of state Republican matters. But I do get a little more sense from just from her social media and her campaign video that she is leaning a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit into also incorporating like the Trump administration, for example. So they're not running the same kind of platforms. They might believe in the same things. But do you notice that?
Yeah, I think Erin Stewart, what she's trying to do is she's trying to portray herself as a political outsider. We live in a time when political outsiders from Trump to Mamdani are doing well. And she wants to portray herself as the outsider. And you watch her launch video. She talks about she positions herself opposite the quote unquote clowns in Hartford. She talks about we're not doing things the old way. I'm something different. I'm something new. Again, trying to, and this is something we see when governors run for president or when governors run for Senate, those executive positions, they talk about how, well, I'm not from Washington. I'm not part of the problem in Washington. I'm something different. She is doing the kind of localized version of that where I'm not from Hartford. Hartford's got all the problems. I'm from New Britain. She's going to present a record in New Britain in a way that makes it seem like she's cleaned that city up. She's stabilized things there. So that is kind of the framing. I think Ryan Fazio also sees himself as an outsider because he was not really involved in state politics until about 5 years ago. So this is going to be interesting to watch play out. There's also a read of this that Vinnie Candelora has said, which is we're all outsiders. We're all Republicans, right?
Like, yeah, right.
We're all
right,
on
right.
the outside of this.
Right.
So I think you'll hear a lot of that as the two of them go at each other. But I would just say, you know, I've been watching this play out, and I was at her launch event last night. And again, you kind of hear people, whether it's Erin or Ryan, talking about needing something new and something. If you're an elected official and you've been an elected official for more than like, I don't know, a year, and you're in a position where people are telling you to run for governor, where like longtime political operatives, longtime legislators are telling you you should run for governor, you're not an outsider.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Cerulli, I appreciate you and certainly want to continue to obviously follow this very closely. We ran out of time, but I definitely want to talk about at some point, you know, I haven't heard anything from Representative Josh Elliott like in months. I feel like I haven't heard anything who was the first to say he was running as a Democratic candidate for governor. And I just don't know if that has shifted at all since Governor Lamont has announced a third term.
Yeah. Well,
have you heard anything?
So I talked to him probably 3 days ago. Yeah.
Okay. Has anything shifted or no? He's still on track.
He's still on track. Yeah.
Okay.
He's still out there. He's still campaigning. And
okay.
I think he'd love to talk to you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I had him on when he first announced. I just haven't really seen like any news headlines or anything other than, you know, Representative Josh Elliott has also announced that he is running. Like, there's been, I just haven't heard a lot from him. I haven't seen him out.
Yeah, that is his challenge, is to create headlines.
Right. A little bit. I mean, especially now that Governor Lamont has said he's running for the third term, but maybe he'll surprise us. You know, maybe he'll surprise us, especially after the holidays are done. Maybe it's like, wham, bam, we're in a new year, and here I am, Josh Elliott. We'll see. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Mike Cerulli, I appreciate you. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon.